You share our wisdom with those who seek it.
No, I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace.
VictorGeeks.com presents the Technology Geeks. The geeks are here to take your call.
Call 421-9325 now and ask them your computer and technology questions.
The Technology Geeks are brought to you by
MajorGeeks.com.
MajorGeeks.com is your best place to get tested, virus-free shareware tools for your computer. If your computer needs a fix, go to bootcamp at MajorGeeks.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. Power your company with the most recognized name in energy. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. The switch is on. USA DataNet. Offering a variety of phone and internet services. Find out more at usadatanet.com. Content Watch. Internet filtering, spam, and pop-up blocking for home and business. Try it out at contentwatch.com. Now, here they are.
I'm a geek.
Basically, he was a geek.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
The Technology Geeks.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I am your host for this hour of technology news information, questions, answers, hopefully audio, because we are on the radio. I cut out there for a second. Your host, Mike Rayo, with me, Tim Tibbetts, Jim McMahon from MajorGeeks.com. Hi, guys.
Hey, Disco Mike.
Disco Mike. I have new headphones, and I will be taking some ribbing.
They're
for it.
Gold headphones.
I'll get a picture with the camera.
Beautiful,
phone.
Nice little golden black. It looks something like Denny Terrio would have worn it while if they had headphones.
I'll have to get a picture.
If Denny Terrio played C-3PO in Star Wars,
exactly.
This is what he would be wearing. Yeah. Okay, hey, what are we covering this week? Who's watching you? Get a lot of questions coming in. You know, this NSA thing is a big water cooler type question.
Oh,
you know,
okay. I thought you were talking about something else. I was going to say, it's not me that you see outside your window.
Yeah.
The NSA's in our water cooler, too?
Yeah, you know,
oh,
you hear about them talking about this kind of stuff at work. But people would be surprised to know what technology is out there that can spy on you. Things they use in everyday life to keep track of, like, where you are, getting you on camera. Of course, we've talked about the computer-based spying. We'll touch on that a little bit. But I want to focus on some of the other technologies, like I said, such as GPS tracking and spying devices, cameras, things like that. Fairly amazing stuff. Cell phones in particular play a big role because I'm having my picture taken right now. Printers? Really?
Printers.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. We've got our Geek of the Week software pick, our website of the week, which is a quiz. So we'll start taking the quiz a little bit later in the show.
Multiple choice, true, false.
Well, you know, I tried to make it as easy as I could for you. So.
I got through high school choosing C.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, your calls at 421-9325-421-WFBL. And we start our show, as always, with This Week in Technology News.
Yay.
Yeah. Boy, we're rich. What's a sharp show today?
Missed the coffee this morning, huh, Gus?
Week in, week out, we end up usually, typically with Google headlining the news, maybe Microsoft viruses and the like. Well, this week, Apple takes first position.
Uh-huh.
Starting with a new worm, maybe what they consider the first worm for the Macintosh. Macintosh users are being warned about what has been described as one of the first viruses. It goes through, it's called Leap A. It tries to spread via Apple's iChat instant messaging program. I'm not real familiar with that.
It's like MSN,
MSN
yeah, or AIM or anything like that. It's just for the Mac.
Security firms say that Leap A was not widespread and was unlikely to catch many Apple users who are just in general much smarter than your average PC user.
Does anybody else find it funny that there's a worm for an Apple?
Oh, I mean, wow.
I just wow. I need
that
coffee too.
That is just so clever.
Take that show on the road.
I am stunned.
Now, Mac had also updated to a version 10.4.4, and they have again updated to 10.4.5. Now, one of the questions about the 10.4.5 version was that at 10.4.4, somebody discovered how to hack the new Apple, which you can run on Intel-based machines.
Right.
Somebody figured out how to hack this and successfully installed it on an IBM-compatible PC, Intel machine.
Ooh.
As something we all want. The guy goes by the name Maxis. He posted the code to install Apple software on Intel machines, posted word that a few pieces look for a secret message in there. Well, it looks like Apple wasn't content with just sending an obvious message. They wanted one that sounded pretty, too. There once was a user that whined. His existing OS was so blind. He'd do better to pirate an OS that ran great, but found his hardware declined. Please don't steal Mac OS, really. That's way uncool. Copyright Apple Computer Inc.
It's really a text file in
our audience response. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You're frightening
now,
people.
Of course, Jim and I would never do anything illegal.
No.
So for sake of argument, I have a friend whose name is Kim. And Kim's going to try and install this week and let us know how it works.
Yeah. Kim.
Yeah, we'll go with Kim, just to keep their identity safe.
Or Kit.
Kit. So
that's an inside joke, and you guys will never get that. Oh, maybe you will now. 421-9325-421-WFBL.
Now, also, they have he had to shut down his forums. He had posted the file on the forums. It originally posted it up to free download sites like RapidShare.whatever, where they're free. They all pulled them within an hour as quick.
Sure, because they're afraid of Microsoft because they keep their legal department very busy over there.
Apple keeps their legal department very busy. You are correct.
Well, there's a faux pas. Huh?
He shut down his forums and left a note that he had received a DMCA violation notice.
A Run DMCA violation notice.
So it's just, it got posted here and there in different places, but in general, I think it's going to be shut down. I haven't seen the files that you need to make it run, but I'm guessing he had to use copyrighted Macintosh files and hack them to make it work, which would
or
be a
decompile
problem.
It,
right?
Yeah,
which would be a violation of pretty much any copyright out there.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, now of course, most of us hope that someday Macintosh will allow us to run it on, and we were hoping the IBM
on the boring
we were
PCs.
Hoping the,
right?
Yeah, we were hoping the Intel would be a start. I always like that boring PC. You want to see boring? Lock down the Macintosh software aisle.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's great.
But I would like to see it because I would personally run it. I would definitely dual boot. I would definitely consider using it as a primary operating system. And I think a lot of PC users would. Take Firefox. Firefox is a household name. What is it, 10% of the market?
Yep.
I bet your Mac could go 30% easy.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Well, and it's the best interface to Linux right now. So.
Absolutely, yeah, because Linux is just not a viable alternative right now.
And
I mean, you can use
Mac
it.
OS X runs on top of it.
Yep.
Well, Unix, Linux, FreeBSD, Linux. They're all basically the same thing.
Playing solitaire.
Yeah.
2 minutes. Yeah, I'm just playing solitaire over here.
How you doing?
The end of support for Windows 98 and Windows Millennium has arrived. July 11th, 2006 will bring a close to extended support for Windows 98, 98 Second Edition, and Windows ME as part of the Microsoft Life Cycle Policy. That sounds like a bicycle you would ride for exercise. Basically, they're retiring public support, but you can go to their website and do self-help and the like.
Yeah, but the reality is I think, you know, if you get into real trouble with those operating systems, it's been over for a while.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It really has, because they're just not going to do anything to help you out.
We talked about MySpace quite a bit last week.
Oh, yes.
The Internet has a rising star whose name is not Google. Just over 2 years old, MySpace now has 2.5 times the traffic of Google, and it quickly eclipsed Friendster as a top social networking site where users build large and larger circles of friends. Now, we talked about
perverts.
Right. Well, we talked about it last week, so here's the thing. College students, et cetera, can rate their professors. You can find classmates, alumni. Some people play games. Some view classified ads, send party invitations, rate the brave and how hot they are or not. And that's its general purpose beyond what we discussed.
The problem is it's abused at
a very, very high degree.
But MySpace has been getting a lot of bad press, and they got really agitated this week because Playboy announced that they were going to have a Girls of MySpace issue come out sometime this year.
Is that in your article, Tim? Girls of MySpace?
There's a lot of stuff in my articles that just don't make it to the air.
Yeah. When bad press gets worse.
Sometimes I'm reading it live and I got to be careful. So Microsoft has corrected the false flagging that we talked about that said Symantec software is spyware. It crafted a free tool to repair damaged installations of Symantec Antivirus Corporate Edition and Client Security. So that should be the end of that. You should be able to update your versions of Microsoft anti-spyware and or Symantec and be fine.
I'm going to side on the Microsoft.
I was thinking about that yesterday, and I was bored. I'm thinking, you know, couldn't you almost tag it as malware, considering the amount? Because malware is the new word out there to cover antivirus, spyware. They now just wrapped it up, and let's just call it malware.
It's incredible bloatware. It in often cases will break your browser or reduce your surfing ability to a minimum, and it installs rootkits.
It's going to be an interesting year to see. It's going to be a really interesting year to see what happens when Microsoft releases their OneCare to compete with them.
Okay, hey, that's the news. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will...
take a long break.
Yeah, sure, we can do our Geek of the Week software pick. We'll have your calls at 421-9325. Our feature coming up a little bit later. Who's spying on you? Who's watching you? Anyone out there, if you have a computer, if you have a cell phone, if you have a new car, you need to listen to how you can be tracked, because you can be tracked. 421-9325 is the number to call if you have a computer question problem or you want to comment on the show. Only positive comments, please. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
We'll have more of your calls in a moment after we defrag the phone system. It's the Technology Geeks on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone.
To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet today.
With the retail deregulation of electricity over the past several years, it makes sense for your company to purchase their energy from a third-party supplier. If your business does not choose a third-party supplier, the only alternative is to purchase your energy from your local utility under the rates the utility charges. You don't get to negotiate with your local utility to try and get the best price. You pay what they say. New York Energy is your customer-oriented solution to the turmoil in the deregulated energy market. Con Edison Solutions chose New York Energy to manage and deliver their energy in upstate New York. That's right, Con Ed Solutions, the company that provides energy and industry-leading service at the best possible price, can be your energy provider. New York Energy, backed by the financial strength and stability of Con Edison Solutions, can power your company. If you want the best in power for the best value, you need to call New York Energy right now at 866-815-2343, 866-815-2343, or visit them on the web at nyenergy.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions, the right choice to power your business.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to ContentWatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
That's the way you do it, right here on MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks. I'm your host, Mike Rayo. With me, Tim Tibbetts, Jim McMahon. Tim's having a little headphone. Did you play a trick
I'm
on him?
I have a headphone problem. I have a Jim problem.
Did you have a? Yeah, did you play a trick on him, Jim?
I short-sheeted his headset.
Yeah. So he goes to put them on, and oh!
And the cable was shortened up, so he couldn't get it on.
get it? Oh, yeah, everybody's laughing at
that
one.
At least there's no Vaseline in the headset.
Yeah. Friends like this, who needs enemies?
421-9325. So what'd you do to his car out in the parking lot?
He'll find out. Hey, that reminds me, before you get rolling, were talking in the previous show, some people had some questions about phishing, which are linked
to... Ice phishing?
Internet phishing, where you get... I noticed today, for example, Chase Bank has been sending...
Chase, this is the big...
I just noticed it this morning. I'm getting a bunch of emails that say they're from Chase. Well, anyway, what the phishing is they're emails that look exactly like they're legitimate. You click on it, the page looks legitimate. One of the best advice we give to people is to either bookmark your bank sites, type them in your browser at least once, and then bookmark it. Never click the links in the email. Another suggestion, Jim introduced me to a program a while back called AI RoboForm.
Oh, yeah, very good.
You can get that at MajorGeeks.com. Click on the sections under Internet.
It's under Internet.
Under Internet, download AI RoboForm. It's a password manager. Now, here's the cute thing about it. If you log into your bank's webpage and you type it correctly, it will say right on the little toolbar, let's say you're at Chase Bank, it'll say Chase. So you know you're at the right page. You click Chase, it'll do the login for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do logins Chase, and it'll take you right to your page, log you right in, and you're off.
Right.
Now, the nice thing about it is if you accidentally hit a phishing site and you look up at your toolbar to hit your login, there's no login. Why? You're not at Chase.
Exactly.
Ah.
It's a nice way
yeah,
to
get Yeah, we featured that
it.
Software, didn't
yes.
we, once? AI RoboForm.
AI RoboForm.
Now, the trivia question is, let's see if either one of you guys can answer this. It's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G.
Right.
Where did it come from? Where did that term come from?
The band?
The band, Fishman. He's from Syracuse, you know that? The
yeah.
drummer?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it didn't come from there.
Oh.
I always thought the PH came from phony, and then the fishing was like, you know, throwing things out
trying
there.
Trying to
hook. Catch it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Will you take that for $100, Alex?
He doesn't know.
Boy, that was exciting.
He's still playing solitaire. It's unbelievable.
That was exciting.
But, yeah, that's something for people to look at because that's just a great way. There's a lot of anti-phishing tools. There's going to be anti-phishing built into Vista and upcoming versions of their browsers. But AI RoboForm, if you log into, I think it's up to 10 sites are free. So if you just do some casual shopping in mm-hmm. a few of your favorite sites and your bank, this is totally free for you. Guys like me and Jim, we've got 30, 40, 50 logins
mm-hmm.
to different various sites, and we don't even know our passwords anymore because it's all stored right in there for us.
And but it's encrypted.
Yep.
You can
don't
encrypt
use
it
that
or not.
File.
You can encrypt it or not encrypt it. You can use different user settings so that you know, if you had 10 people using the same computer, they could have different files for themselves. So you don't have
very
to
cool.
Very cool.
So
software.
Hopefully that helps out the person who was asking about phishing. If we didn't answer your question, you can give us a shout at what are we at 421 what.
9325-421 WFBL. I'm just mailing it.
All right. 396.
I'm done now. Put the solitaire down. Let's move on with the show.
421-9325 is the number to call. Hey, here is the phishing attack. It says, "Dear Chase Bank customer," I'm not a Chase Bank customer, but thanks for considering me one. "We recently reviewed your account and suspect that your Chase Bank internet banking account may have been accessed by an unauthorized third party."
Oh, no.
"Protecting the secrecy of your account and of Chase Bank Network is our primary concern. Therefore, as a preventative measure, we have temporarily limited access to sensitive account features. To restore your account access, please take the following steps to ensure that your account has not been compromised. One, log into your Chase Internet Banking account. In case you're not enrolled in Internet Banking, you will have to fill out the required..." Well, wait a minute. If my account has not...
If it's been compromised, then I have to be unenrolled,
right?
That's irrelevant. The object of the game is to make it look like a legitimate email.
Right.
PayPal, if you get a PayPal email, it'll say in the PayPal email. PayPal will never ask for your password via email, but they're asking you to log in via email and type it in.
Yeah.
It's very standard operating procedure.
To get started, please click on the link below, and it says http://www.chase.com. Of course, that real site is 202.44.210. It went away.
Yeah, that's what
.63/chase.com. We own you, basically.
Yeah,
they're going
right.
to steal your personal information. In fact, I'm going to click on that just to see what
I
happens.
Could design a clone of Chase or any PayPal and a phony login in 5 minutes or
sure.
less in Notepad. Copy, save the source, change the links, done.
I could do it in 4 minutes.
I'll do 3.
Design that site.
Boy, that does look very real.
Oh, absolutely. All you got to do is view their source and save. Actually, if you go to any webpage, do file, save as, Internet Explorer will download the whole webpage, images, directories, the whole thing. So all they have to do is just file, save as, change some of the links around, upload it to some rogue server that they've got, and they're off to the races.
What a lot of people don't realize, new users, is the www.domainname.whatever really means nothing. It's the IP address that means something. Computers communicate in numbers, not letters, and the IP address is what the computers understand. The domain names are there for people to be able to remember things. I mean, to go to MajorGeeks.com, you don't want to go to... Or
right.
is it 6692206100?
Right.
Who wants to do that? Type, you know, and so that's how they spoof it. They make
right.
it look like it's chase.com,
maybe,
but it's actually an IP address that you're going to.
Maybe this would explain. If you go to MajorGeek.com at the front page
right.
and say you want to download something, I could easily change any link in that page. So it says that you're clicking on the link, whatever you're looking at, and
mm-hmm.
I could make it anything I want.
Exactly.
There are two different things. There's the actual link and what you see
say
that you're clicking on.
What you say the link.
That's where they get you an email. They
mm-hmm.
say you're going to click on this, but you're not.
Then you
they trick
you. You view the source, you look where the link is going, you'll see this IP address, you toss it into something like DNSstuff.com.
I'd also
and you'll find out the IP address goes to someplace in Zimbabwe.
I'd also recommend a good...
Zimbabwe, is it?
Yeah, that's not the corporate headquarters for Chase, trust me.
A good spam utility. I actually never see these except I check my spam box because every once in a while something gets by.
Mm-hmm.
These automatically go to my spam. These spam filters have certain settings. They recognize a fake link. They recognize a server name. They recognize keywords, mortgages, and that stuff is dumped. I use SpamFighter again under MajorGeeks.com under the mail. What do you use?
Spam Assassin, but it's
spam
server.
Assassin.
Anybody want to ask me what I use? No.
Okay. What do you use?
I'm not telling.
That means nothing. He's nothing. Running around naked.
Yeah, that would be. Speaking of that,
he's running around
the geek of the week. The website of the week this week is quizstop.com, which is a pretty cool site. It has all different kinds of quizzes. And the one we chose as a tie in to last week is askyourthumb.com. And this is what would your lover look like as a human thumb? This is clean, though, it's G rated. So you go to the quiz and ask you a series of questions. So let's do Jim.
This is website of the week, not interesting website, huh?
Yeah, no, this is very interesting. Okay, so Jim, the first question they're asking is, do you consider Jim plump or heavy or slim or medium?
Plump.
Okay, so he's on plump. Is he intellectual, conservative, or cool man cool?
Intellectual or conservative.
Oh, man.
He missed cool.
Well, he's got a goatee. We got to go with cool.
Yeah, have you seen him dance? You screwed up the test already.
Sweet or sensitive, wild or mischievous?
Oh,
mischievous.
Yeah, that's what I was
Take a look. So he's got sunglasses, little horns. That's pretty cool. And a goatee. See? It were in or they could be Chester. I don't know. But,
Now tell us the truth. Did you really need to know? Tell us the truth. Did you really need to know this? It says on the page.
That thing kind of looks like me. It's creepy. That's
yeah, it is. So the site again.
That's not bad.
If you want, yeah, it's a pretty cool.
Do Tim and see if it comes up with a mullet.
All right, slide to the quiz. All right, he's slim or medium. Sorry, he's the only normal sized person in the studio.
Yeah, exactly.
We're sucking up all the air.
I'm teetering.
Cool man, cool. Sweet or sensitive or wild or mischievous.
That's a no-brainer, I think.
Do they have, like, a none of the above?
The criminal, but it's blacked out here.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll go with the...
Wild?
Wild, yeah.
He looks just like you, only
like
thinner.
Only thinner.
And in real life, you know what? Other than the hat and then the size, you guys are, you know, could be brothers.
Exactly. I've been questioning my dad as to what he was doing approximately 40 years ago.
Yeah?
He won't admit it.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's about you, right? 421-9325.
That's correct.
421-WFBL is the number to call. Hey, let's get started. A little teaser here. People are talking about, you know, we try to warn people on the show about, you know, hey, don't answer phishing emails. Your identity will be stolen. And those are the kind of the general bland things, and most people that regular listeners to this show already know about, like... again, answering emails, going to sites and putting in personal information about yourself unless you know or trust that site, opening attachments that come in from emails, even from people you know unless you're expecting that attachment, or the body of the email has some very personal information so you know that it's a legitimate email. We tell people to avoid this because their private information could be compromised. And identity theft is a big problem. But there are a lot of other ways that technology gets used, from everything from a brand new car to a new cell phone. You know, pretty much any cell phone that you purchased from 2005 and after has a GPS locator in it. I don't think people are aware of that.
I still prefer old-fashioned stalking.
Yeah. This is high-tech stalking.
I don't get...
So every cell phone, you know, or the majority of the cell phones, somebody has a cell phone, if they got it in the last 2 years, it has a GPS locator in it. Now, the purpose behind that is you hit 911 and now they can find you if you're in trouble. That was the thought behind it.
Right.
But the reality is these GPS locators can be used to track you down. You can
within 3 feet.
Yeah, well, the requirement, they don't have differentials in them, so it's 300 meters, which is a little over 3 football fields.
I'm with a lot of people on this stuff, which I don't mind giving up just a tiny bit. just because the overall good could work out, but I'm very... I like to keep an eye on them. I like to know what they're doing and how much they're going to do. And you hear that from a lot of people. They're willing to give up just a little bit of freedom to make sure that people are watched, whether it be cameras on street corners, GPS. It makes it much easier to find people who you need to find when you need to find them. But that said, I like to keep a very close eye, because anytime the government decides they want to spy, the question becomes, how far are they willing or wanting to go?
Yeah, and let's get into that, too. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk specifically about how you can be spied on with a cell phone, because it's being done every day, all the time, not necessarily by the government, but illegally by, you know, private detective firms, things like that. 421-9325 is the number to call if you have a computer question or problem, you want to get in on the discussion.
Or if you're just lonely.
Yeah. And that's why I come in every week.
Wow.
You're listening to MajorGeeks.com, so Technology Geeks, right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
The Technology Geeks want to remind you that if you're having trouble tuning in the program, try restarting your radio. More with the Technology Geeks is coming up on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Is that monthly internet bill starting to really break the bank? When you can surf the internet for $9.95, why would you ever pay more? That's right. At USA Datanet, you get unlimited internet access for only $9.95. There's no setup fees, you get unlimited email addresses, and a high-speed dial-up connection. With USA Datanet, you receive the same fast, reliable internet service you get with a big-name provider, but for a fraction of the cost. And those aren't the only features USA Datanet offers. There are no contractual commitments, and USA Datanet provides a friendly, full, technical support team to answer any of your questions. So now, you can get the same internet for a much better deal. Go to usadatanet.com to sign up today. See for yourself why so many people are turning to USA Datanet for their internet service. Don't delay and keep throwing your money away. Go to usadatanet.com and join today. USA Datanet, the same internet for a much better deal.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to contentwatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
And we're back mostly on MajorGeeks.com, so Technology Geeks. Tim has left the show. He's checking his...
Elvis has left the building.
Yeah, he's checking to see what kind of... I think he's going to wreck your car is what he's doing.
Oh, I guarantee he's doing something.
421-9325-421-WFBL on this freezing cold, snowy Saturday morning.
there goes the window.
GPS locators in your cell phone. Well, here's what happens. There are kits that you can buy to exploit the GPS chip in your cell phone and create like a primitive tracking device. And people do this and then stick them in somebody's car, or, you know, they'll throw them in a little satchel or something and hide it under the seat of somebody's car to track them.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one way you can be spied. It's actually a pretty popular thing to do, very, very inexpensive to do. Like I said, the good side of it is 911. If you call 911 on your cell phone, they can locate you and get the emergency services that you need.
Unless you have that phone the kid and sister had the other day.
What was that? Tell me about that.
I didn't catch it all. The kid went... He disappeared. He was on a motocross, his little motocross bike.
Oh, yeah, remember that? Yeah.
He went off into the woods. They said they couldn't GPS him because it was a particular phone for kids where you can dial out, but you can't call back in.
Track phone?
I don't know. All they said in the news was it was a phone that was specifically designed that he could dial out and dial certain numbers. It was for the kids. So 911 was one of the numbers he could dial. Obviously, he's in the middle of the woods. It's kind of hard to say I'm next to the big tree. So they couldn't find him via GPS because he had that particular phone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and that's too bad.
In Japan and all that, they've been putting GPS chips in dogs for years so you can track them down and find them. My dogs have ID chips in them, but...
Your wife put one in your neck, too, I know.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on you.
I wish she used a much smaller chip.
So GPS locators is, you know, if you have a car that has OnStar in it, for example.
I love OnStar.
Yeah, it is a very cool thing, but you can be tracked that way.
And if the
police you're trying to get away from somebody, yeah, don't bother. Get a different car.
Not only tracked, but if the police want to chase you, they can just turn off your car and lock the doors and keep you in the car.
Yep.
You know?
Wow, really?
Absolutely.
Hey, see? You listen to the commercials, I locked myself out of the car. Hold on a second, we'll unlock it for you.
Yeah, there's no reason they can't lock it in. They can shut the car right down.
Yeah, but you'll never hear the commercial, hey, let me out of this car. All
right.
Well, the police will be there shortly. No, I want to get out now.
That would rock. That'd be better than the Trunk Monkey commercials.
We were talking about, those are some of the obvious ways of tracking things, but the new inkjet printers, the color inkjet printers and laser printers, they have certain colors built into printouts where under certain lights and certain glasses you can see these colors and they form a pattern. That pattern.
Do you have to take a pill first to see these lights and colors?
3D glasses?
That was until about a year ago you did, but now it's all right there and it can tell you not only where the printer was manufactured, but where it was sold.
So it's a high-tech version of what you see on TV where they say, hey, look at these specific letters. This particular key has a weird...
Yeah.
And they find the typewriter, and that's so it's basically a high-tech version
of that.
And you
can get the serial number of the printer from the actual printout and then bring it to the store and find out who bought that printer.
Kerry could have used this for those memos at CBS there.
Mike Wallace.
What if I buy a printer and don't register it?
Doesn't matter. Your serial number's registered when you buy it. So, you know, you write a note like...
So all that fake money, you're dead now.
The ways that they can track things and find things now is just incredible.
I had other ideas, but...
You see the smell of wood burning over
here. Wheels are going.
Yeah.
A friend of mine's a private investigator, and, he's been onto these techniques for years.
Yeah.
And it's the cell phone thing, the tap in the phone thing. Now they sell these devices, but you used to basically a pair of alligator clips, 50 cents, and a trip to Radio Shack. You would go and buy a chip and alligator clip it to somebody's telephone, and it would broadcast their telephone conversations to your car. Now they sell those as iPod add-ons.
Mm.
It's amazing what they can do now.
Well, there's a site, I believe it's called, I'm looking it up now, yes, spychest.com. Very big site, and they have all different types of spying things. So we talked about GPS. They have GPS tracking, and you can these GPS systems, just so you know, I mean, the trackers are as inexpensive as $400. They go all the way up. Real-time GPS trackers are about $1,500. You think about it, it's fairly inexpensive. You're assuming you're going to be able to recover that device. You're not going to put it in somebody's car and never get it back. But there's always a risk. But there is inexpensive $400, $395.99 for GPS tracking devices that can be hidden just about anywhere and monitor you. They also have cameras and hidden cameras, and these are pretty cool. Let's talk about cameras in the public domain, though. Britain is probably leads the world in surveillance cameras that are in the public domain, traffic cameras, street corner cameras. But the United States is really catching up. Many cities
I hate to say it now. I love them.
Really?
Love them.
Why?
Because you can catch so many people when you're looking for something. Any kind of... Just think about the stuff that goes on. Do you really care if you happen to be walking by a camera, if you're just out and about shopping or whatever? Well, what do you care?
Well, if it is able to track where I am, and that's the purpose that it's used for...
Well, they've got to have facial recognition to even know who you are.
Yeah. I can tell you who has that is the casinos.
The casinos.
I've been a victim of that myself.
I saw it on TV.
Hey, you count cards. You can't come in here anymore.
The government,
oh, I'm sorry.
The government can use facial recognition to target you right off the bow of a ship if they want to. In the harbor, coming in with cameras now.
The list goes on and on. Muggings, rape, traffic accidents. Think about all the things that could happen. You don't need these
witnesses. Speeding tickets, running a red light, they're using them for that, too.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So people should be aware of the fact when you stop at your local intersection. I mean, I live out in a very suburban area. It borders a rural area, like most suburbs, but very close to a rural area. And we've got traffic cans on the traffic light in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no commercial property anywhere around. It's near a school.
Are they checking you for speeding or is it just a camera?
No, there's like six or eight cameras on this thing.
Yeah, just to catch speeders and really? They don't have to use a police officer.
That's what 690's for.
You know, and they just mail you the ticket and they collect the money.
Nice.
Same thing with Easy Passes.
Yeah, I got a slight problem with that. I should be able to speed. You got to catch me the old fashioned way, man.
Right. So you look at these things. Are they impinging on our privacy? Well, you know, it's a fine line. I mean, it depends on how they get used, and that's really the bottom line. You've got cameras, you've got GPS. Are they getting used or abused? What rights do we have? What has to happen before they can be used to track us and to invade our privacy, essentially? And those are some things that are being hotly contested and debated today. I think.
I don't get it. If you watch, like, cops and stuff like that, people can obviously say, I don't want my image on TV. You know, I don't know.
So they give them those little black.
I know it's kind of stupid. It's not quite the same. But can't you just say, you know, if you got a speeding ticket, who gave you the right to take video of me?
You did by electing these jerks.
I just vote one row.
Yeah. I try not to get political, but boy, I think I did in that sentence, didn't I?
Yeah.
But yeah, you elect them, and then they say, oh, well, it's for a public safety issue. And then the next thing you know, they're using the cameras and microphones to come into your house.
Well, look at
you can hack a computer. People at MIT have already done this. You can hack a computer by listening to the keyboards. You don't need to install a keylogger. There's software now that by listening to the keyboard can tell you exactly what you just typed. And they can use these cameras and microphones to zone in on your house and find out what you typed, what your passwords are, and those sorts of things without actually entering. Although the Patriot Act lets them enter whenever they want. Anyway.
Oh, does it? Yeah. Does it now? Okay. Button cam. Here's some cameras that you can buy. $299, you can get a camera that mounts on your button, a pen camera for $400. The spy sunglasses, which have a remote camera, they're only $570. So it can be. Oh, here's a cool one. This is a 2.4 gigahertz color spy cam. It looks like a little USB thumb drive. It's only $180, which is only slightly more than a thumb drive would cost.
Mm-hmm. Right. Is it all in one? So it actually is a thumb drive. You just plug it in and get the video off.
I don't know.
That'd be sweet. Cause if you think about it, if it was a motion sensor, you can have it anywhere. You just plug it in to get the video.
Mm-hmm.
So then they have traditional spying kits. Let's look at some other hidden cameras here. You can hide them in a lamp, clock radio, air purifier. They sell you the whole thing with it already hidden inside of it. A clock radio, radio lamp, air purifier, boombox, speaker, sprinkler head.
Nice.
Very clever. A couple of different clocks, a book, an exit sign.
Plant.
The plant cam.
Gotta love the teddy bear cam.
Yeah, the teddy bear cam. I think that's for the babysitter.
Yeah.
It would be my guess. Inside a VCR. That's for nostalgia buffs, apparently, because I don't know. DVD. Things. Smoke detector, outdoor lighting, purse. Camera. Now these are reasonably priced. I mean they're not you know, if somebody who's motivated to spy, I mean they're under most of them are under $500, many are under $300. So
and you can get your own little pin cam with just the wires and install it into say a smoke detector tying off the power for the 9-volt. Literally takes, I don't know, a minute and a half to install it.
Yeah. I say the same thing I said earlier, which was, I don't think the cameras are completely a bad thing, but the watchers have to be watched.
But the watchers are the government.
They have to be watched.
Not always. I mean, these are things that you and I can buy.
Right.
You know, you got an MP3 voice recorder that goes in your watch, all kinds of listening devices.
Oh, yeah, a lot of privacy issues were coming up when cell phones first put cameras in there and websites were popping up with people's pictures and that sort of thing. That was kind of interesting for a while.
So I don't think people are fully aware or fully appreciate the fact that they can be completely spied on if they have a cell phone, a car, or go outside and are being spied on. Not trying to make any political statement about here, just the capabilities. Got to make sure we get some good laws in place that catch the bad guys but not giving up.
Well, I'll protect
too much,
what I'm saying.
Too much of our privacy.
You know, that's why I said they got to be wide. I really don't like the idea of the cameras just clocking you and writing speeding tickets all day long. I just don't like the idea of it.
Yeah, but you were all cool.
You're a speeder.
You were all cool as long as they were just watching you.
It's all about me. Yeah. What's important here is if it bothers me.
It's wrong. But the thing is, you're kind of making a case for the cameras because if you're a law-abiding citizen and you really don't care.
I didn't say to watch traffic. I said just watch the street corners.
It's a public domain, and that's great. But if somebody's breaking the law, right. i.e. speeding or running a red light, those are the ones who are going to be affected.
Because I do that
421-9325-421-WFBL is the number to call. When we come back, we will be taking your calls. Computer questions, problems, if you want to comment about this privacy thing, we'll take those too. We'll have our Geek of the Week software pick as well, and a couple of little announcements. You are listening to MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Yay.
Call The Technology Geeks now at 00111000100.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's binary.
Call them at 421-9325.
Okay, maggots, this is your Major Geek, and I'm here to explain to you sorry excuses for computer users how to get great tools to improve your computer's performance for free. Go to my boot camp at MajorGeeks.com. If you need virus protection or you want to get rid of those spies stealing information from your computer, get it from the Geek. MajorGeek.com gives you great software to try for free. Now, I know in the past you've been soft, going to them computer stores, shelling out your hard-earned dough for those pretty software boxes you see, only to find what's on the outside is not what's on the inside. Those days are over. At my site, MajorGeeks.com, you get safe, tested, geek-reviewed software from hundreds of software publishers, and you get to try it before you buy it. Now listen here, maggots. If you don't want to be a book private all your life, I order you to get to MajorGeeks.com. Spell it for me, soldier.
MajorGeeks.com.
I can't hear you.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone.
To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet today.
With the retail deregulation of electricity over the past several years, it makes sense for your company to purchase their energy from a third-party supplier. If your business does not choose a third-party supplier, the only alternative is to purchase your energy from your local utility under the rates the utility charges. You don't get to negotiate with your local utility to try and get the best price. You pay what they say. New York Energy is your customer-oriented solution to the turmoil in the deregulated energy market. Con Edison Solutions chose New York Energy to manage and deliver their energy in upstate New York. That's right, Con Ed Solutions, the company that provides energy and industry-leading service at the best possible price, can be your energy provider. New York Energy, backed by the financial strength and stability of Con Edison Solutions, can power your company. If you want the best in power for the best value, you need to call New York Energy right now at 866-815-2343, 866-815-2343, or visit them on the web at nyenergy.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions, the right choice to power your business.
It's all about the opinions, baby.
It is all about the Pentiums here on MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks. 421-9325 is the number to call. Let's go to Bill with a question about BitTorrent. Welcome to the Technology Geeks, Bill.
Good morning. Wouldn't want you guys to go a whole Saturday without a phone call.
Hey.
We would. We love the sound of our own voice.
Yeah, I now that I got this Verizon DSL, I decided I wanted to try to download a Linux ISO.
Mm-hmm.
And so I installed MicroTorrent, and apparently is incompatible with my antivirus program. So I downloaded the regular BitTorrent program, and it just sitting here looking at me, and they don't really offer a whole lot of information as to how to actually use it.
Really, here's the catch with the Linux stuff. A lot of the downloads are free. The problem is they're on FTP sites. They're usually bogged down, so you get slow speeds. The BitTorrent links assume that you need to have hundreds and hundreds of people online at the same time who are sharing these files.
Mm-hmm.
My recommendation to you would be to get a download manager, which what it does is it allows you to log into the same FTP five times simultaneously and download the file five different times. Because what happens is you get on these FTPs and it's slow, let's say 20K. If you log in five times, you can get 100K. So that's the way I would go about doing it.
If the ISO is available on an FTP server, a lot of these are not, and they're only broken up as BitTorrents. And BitTorrents is a neat way to share files. But BitTorrent is only a protocol. It's like HTTP or FTP or anything like that. It's a protocol. So when you install BitTorrent, the True Blue BitTorrent from Bram Cohen in Seattle, nice guy, by the way, fan of his. He's doing some cool things with search engines now. But when you install that, when you click a BitTorrent link, it will start downloading it for you unless there's something wrong with the BitTorrent link. If you want any help or anything like that, you really need a BitTorrent manager like the file managers. We do carry one that we like at Major Geeks. It's called uTorrent. The easiest way is to do is to search torrent in our search engine, and you'll come up with that. But it's uTorrent, and that will manage and help you walk through some of the BitTorrent stuff, creating your own, downloading it, where you want to put it, and those sorts of things. And it's a nice little front end to the BitTorrent protocol, much like WSFTP is a front end to the FTP protocol.
Cool.
The main place you go to, right, is the Xandros, the actual manufacturer site, to get the file to do the BitTorrent. Contributing to it anyway.
Yeah, when you go to download a file, does it say, like, this is a BitTorrent link, or when you click on it?
Well, I have two options. You can pay $10 and do a direct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or you can do it for free using BitTorrent.
Doing the BitTorrent.
And they give you the file to use to get it started with.
Yeah, so the direct link isn't really available with it. So what you do is you click that BitTorrent link, and it starts to download, and it relies on other people having it. So what happens is, you're sharing the portion that you downloaded,
right,
and some guy elsewhere may be ahead of you by 50%, and he's sharing the portion he downloaded, and so is somebody else, so you may be able to get two pieces, and it's coming into your machine like that, and that, hence the torrent or wave coming into your machine.
And after the show, Bill, you can check the video on the website and see Jim's hand gestures for that. Because they were very, you know, they were important to the description.
Basically, I did the description with interpretive dance.
Thanks, Bill.
So if picture that, right, you know, and not throw up, you're good.
I actually got a couple pictures. I'll put them on the Technology Geeks this afternoon if you're kind of curious how ugly we all are.
421-9325-421-WFBL is the number to call. Let's do the Geek of the Week software pick so Jim doesn't get off the hook. Now, if you need a second...
I had it there, and then Bill called, and I was like, I messed up my brother.
That's fine.
But we were talking about security and spying and all that sort of thing, and I picked one out this morning that basically it's going to show users exactly how quickly you can get information off somebody's machine. And I love this file just for that reason. It's in our covert ops section, or covert operations, and it's called Protected Storage Pass View. That's Protected Storage Pass View. PASSVIEW. Basically, it's a very, very small file that you can, and it's freeware, of course. It's a 31 kilobit file. You can install a machine. I carry it on a thumb drive. And I can walk up to a machine with this on a thumb drive, and within, 10 seconds, I can have all your mail passwords, all your internet use passwords, all your stored passwords, like if you're in a browser and you go to your PayPal account, and you store your password in your browser. All those passwords are available to me and stored as a text file with the sites on my thumb drive in literally seconds.
It's because my mind's in the gutter. What about my porn? Is that safe?
Absolutely. No, nah. Not. Nothing is safe. And this is a neat little tool that, you know, if I'm able to gain access from your machine either physically with a thumb drive or through the internet with some other means through, say, an unsecured hole in your router or firewall or something like that, and literally in seconds I have enough information to be able to just do anything I want to.
Right, so we can get all kinds of people spying on everybody else, which was what our goal was
today. Hey, it's the privilege of the geeks to be ahead of the curve, yep. And this protected storage pass view will show you what we've been doing for
covert apps and the technology geeks. Yep. Other website to remember is spychest.com. Go to spychest.com if you want to see how to spy on people or how to have some counter surveillance devices as well. Hey, we're going to go to the phones right now. We've got Ray in Syracuse. He's got a question. He's having some trouble with his computer. What's your trouble, Ray?
Well, I got a file that I had trouble saving, and I finally figured out a way to. In other words, the save button just wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So I fooled around. I finally got it saved. Now every time I turn on the Microsoft Word and call up a new a clean page,
yep,
that file shows up, and I can delete it. You know, go to the edit and clear and.
What kind of file is that, Ray?
Just a regular My Document.
It's a Word document, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've deleted it from there, and it, when I try to find it somewhere else, it says it doesn't exist.
Yeah, here's how you get rid of it. What's happened is probably, reasonably certain about this, it does happen quite often, this file got saved accidentally as your standard document template. So what you need to do is go do what, do you know how to search your C drive?
Yeah.
Search your C drive for a file called normal, N-O-R-M-A-L, normal.dot for document template, D-O-T like dot. Normal.dot, not doc.
Normal.dot.
Rename that to like normal.old or something like that. Make sure Word is closed when you do this. Then open up Word and your problem should go away.
Who knows that kind of garbage?
Guys, I'm a software guy. I mean, that's what I am supposed to know. How do you know that stuff?
Don't look at me like you're smart.
How do I do it with the Windows not open?
Well, you just don't have Microsoft Word open.
Okay.
You can have Windows. You need to use Windows. Use File Manager, right mouse click on your C drive, and do search. It's got a wrestling match going on here. So, what is going on? I've lost control of the show, Ray. I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry, Ray. You took a swing at me.
Where I got to look is in a file called normal.
D-O-T, normal.dot, and you just right mouse click on your C drive and go to search, and a little search window will come up, and then you do all or part of this file name, and you type in normal.dot, and it will come up.
Okay, the file doesn't have a name anymore because I deleted it.
No. Yeah, but this file, what's happened is that the contents got copied to a file called normal.dot.
Okay, and a normal search doesn't find it. In other words, when I searched, I went through the exercise of searching every file in the whole thing, you know.
Search for the actual, yeah. It recreated the file as a different name called normal.dot. Search for the words normal.dot, rename normal.dot to normal.old, and then restart Microsoft Word.
All right.
Got it?
Give it a try. We're out of time. We are out of time, aren't we? Okay. We are. Right. Do you have something to say? You want to punch him back? Or?
No, I'm done with it.
See you later.
See ya.
Find somebody, flash me a gang sign here. We gotta go.
Apparently, Gus is from the west side.
So long for now. We'll see you next
week. 2 seconds.
Talk Radio 1390 W.